You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1612. Today's tip features Horse Radio Network founder Glenn the Geek, along with Sinead Halpin, who has some tips on getting the most bang for your riding lesson buck.
I just thought we'd chat a little bit about, how to get proper training, proper lessons. A lot of times, the three things I hear from people all the time is that they're either too far away from anybody, quote unquote, good to get good help. They don't have enough time to get help, or they don't have enough money to get help. And there are definitely a ways around that.
You know, Sinead, it's funny you said that first one, because I had Jane Savoy on. We had her on the Stable Scoop show a while back. And she said, it's funny, I hear everywhere I go that there's no good trainers in my area. And she said, I've heard that everywhere in the United States.
That's amazing.
There's always no good trainers right around you. Isn't that amazing how that works?
It is amazing. But there are certain places that are, you'll have the best trainers all within 10 miles of each other.
That's true.
And then everybody's kind of fighting for it. And then you do have places where it's 8 hours to a good coach. But if you put a little work into it, you can get it done.
right.
With the distance thing, we'll just start there since we're on that. You know, there's a couple of different ways that it may take a little bit more organization. It might take a little bit more scheduling. But a couple of things that you can do is that if you're an event rider or any other discipline, normally if you're that far away from coaches and trainers, you're also that far away from the big events, from the big shows. And so what I would suggest doing is scheduling out your season and trying to find, and this is sometimes easier said than done because of different work schedules or school schedules, but trying to find a week before your competition and find a trainer around your competition. Because most of the time, these events, there is a local trainer, there is a local person there. That is quite good. Find a week before that event and see if you can get there even 3 days before the competition and have 3 days of lessons, do your competition, and then go home. That's a good way to, you're already going to have to travel a bit to get to the event, and you're already going to have to reschedule some things to get there. So you might, if you could give yourself 2-3 days, a week, something like that, a lot of times that's a way to add in a couple of more lessons before your actual competition, and then your coach, that quote-unquote coach that's helping you, can see you actually in action, can send you home with some tips to work on until the next event. So that's a good way to get that done. Another thing that you can do if you're far away is so many of these coaches and trainers do clinics. And just because they haven't set a clinic up in your area doesn't mean that they won't. I don't know one event rider that would turn down a clinic. That if you picked up the phone and you said, hey, I can get 2 days of, you know, 8 lessons or maybe even just one full day of lessons organized for you to come out here, could you fly out here? And a lot of times with that, you can organize enough lessons that you almost get your own lessons paid for. And you can set those up 4 times a year, 5 times a year, 6 times a year, however, you know, depending on the clinician, depending if you want to get different people in and out, and that's another good way. It's not every week, but it's certainly better than not having lessons at all.
Right. And, you know, clinics are a good thing, and coaches do love to do clinics because they can get so much more done in a day or 2 days than they could scattering appointments here and there.
Completely. And when you're getting in there and you're seeing someone for the first time, you almost see a more true picture of what actually is going on, and it's amazing how quickly you can kind of nip in there and see what's going on and then give the person a plan to work on. And then say they make say this person wants to come out to your place a week before a competition, then you already have a bit of a relationship and you can work from there. So that's a good thing to figure out with your, if distance is a problem.
Good.
And then the other thing is certainly is time. It's having enough time to get the help. And this, the quick way to get in there and do that is, hopefully in your area, if there are some trainers, is to base yourself with a trainer. Again, that's something a lot of people don't think about doing. They keep their horse at a boarded facility, and then they have to pack the horse up, trailer it over an hour or, you know, half an hour over to their coaches once a week, take a lesson, and it turns into quite an afternoon. A lot of coaches will have an overflow barn, will have some extra stalls, will have something where you could actually pay them just for the board. and ride your horse out there and figure out when they're riding their horses, set up a lesson schedule, and it's a little bit more of an intense training situation. There's a lot of people, I know when I was getting into it a little bit more seriously, up at David and Karen O'Connor's, that's what a lot of the students would do, is that they had a student barn, and the students would come up, whether it was for the summer or for the whole year round, and they would basically have, they would do the care of their own horses. They'd pay for a dry stall, they'd do all the care, but they were based in that, they were submerged in the program of David and Karen. So they sorted out their lessons on the property. They could come and watch David and Karen ride. Everybody was riding around each other, and it was a really cool way to spend the summer, or if you're, you know, if you're a young and up and coming rider, or to even a lot of the adult amateurs could come for a week or come for 2 weeks and do the same thing. They'd self-care their own horse on the property and just kind of submerge themselves in somebody else's training program. And if you don't have the time, like if you're working or whatnot, you put your horse into the full board there, and then obviously your horse and your trainer are always just 2 seconds away. So whenever there's a spare moment, your trainer is normally there all the time anyway, so you can pop out and see if you can sort something out. So that's another thing as far as time is concerned.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
And the third one is money.
Yeah.
Lessons are expensive. Lessons are, I mean, depending on the area, they can range anywhere from $50 an hour to $175 an hour, depending on the person and the area. But that is certainly no reason not to get help. I remember Karen O'Connor sitting me down one day when I was having a fit because I couldn't afford all the lessons. And she said, the first thing people give up when they run out of money is their lessons. And that's the last thing they should give up. And at that moment, she, you know, don't expect this all the time, but she tore my bill up in front of me, did it pro bono, and said, all right, you know, I'll take your fourth firstborn, you know, but you need to keep taking
lessons.
You haven't
paid that one off yet, have you?
Not yet. I don't think I'll be paying that one off for a while, hopefully. I know, she got suckered into that one, didn't she? since then, I've had to pay for one or two lessons.
You know, out of curiosity, not to get you off your tip here, but just out of curiosity, yeah. Have you seen with the economy a reduction in people taking lessons? Has that affected you as a coach and trainer?
You know, it hasn't too much. I mean, you always think that the horse sport is a different world. I mean,
yeah,
it literally is.
People are addicted. Yep.
People are addicted. I mean, I think you find a lot more people going down your working student routes, going down your route of the barter system is a beautiful thing. And so I've had a lot of people kind of come and say, okay, I can only take this many lessons a month or a week, or can I do some work for you and work off this lesson? Maybe I could help do your billing and you could teach me a lesson, something like that. And that I see a lot of.
I noticed you haven't asked for any firstborn children then, right?
No way. Not yet. I know, firstborn kid, you keep it till it's five.
That's exactly right. That's about the age I want to start dealing with them.
Yeah, and then by seven, they can be working students, right? So
that's right.
Perfect.
You put them to work somewhere on the farm. They can clean stalls at seven.
Exactly. So with that in mind, there are a lot of trainers that would happily, like, if you could work one or two days a week, even mucking out stalls, doing something like that, then you could get your lessons paid off. Working students, everybody does working students. Well, not everybody, but most people do working students, where you can come and you can work off your horse's board, you can work off your lessons, and a lot of times your accommodation. You don't get a salary, but for younger people that, you know, taking a year off from school, things like that, whose parents still help them out a little bit, or can work a different job, you know, work at a restaurant at night or something to make some extra cash, that's a really good route to go because, again, you're submerged in a situation. You don't have the outgoing cost of your rent and your horse's board and your lessons. And normally you can get 3 to 4 lessons a week plus riding a couple of other horses. I mean, I was working student for, God, I think every summer from 15, 16, 17, and then for 2 years after high school.
I think almost
and
every...
And it was really...
Yeah, who'd you work with?
I was working student for Stuart Black for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then once I finished that, I went and I decided to ride with David and Karen, but I didn't want to do the working student thing anymore. So I galloped racehorses in the morning, and I was a waitress at night, and I had 3 or 4 or 5 horses, depending on who was sending them during the day. And
wow.
And it worked great.
You slept well then, didn't you?
My mom thought this was great. It kept me out of trouble.
Yeah, there were no boys in your life.
No. A lot of gelding. That's about it. But, you know, like in these areas, that's the thing is that there are so many, if you're willing to kind of move to an area like Middleburg, like Pennsylvania, like New Jersey, there are, I mean, it is just a mecca of all different types of horse sports. I mean, I rode fox hunters. I mean, it's all, there's tons of different things you can do to get, you know, freelancing to get some cash in hand so that then you can just pay for your lessons outright. Other things that you can do are scribe at events. I mean, everybody at these horse trials is desperate for scribes all the time. You sit in the car with the judge for a couple of hours. It's amazing what you'll learn. And other things that training sessions for the A team, the B team, the developing rider teams, those are open to the public. All you have to do is hop on the USEA website and see when they are and where they are. And you can come all day and watch Mark Phillips teach the best riders in our country for free. There's no audit fee, nothing.
I was going to say, that's the one clinic where there's no audit fee.
No, there's no audit fee. You just go and you get to go to a beautiful venue. I know this past one was at David and Karen's farm, and you can sit there as long as you want. You can get a schedule of who's riding when, and it's pretty amazing. It's something that people don't realize or take advantage of, that they can actually go. I think there's a slight intimidation factor, but, you know, come out, bring some water, and watch all day. That's a really other cool thing you can do. Also at these clinics, where a little intimidation factor comes on, is that all these clinicians, even if you can't afford the clinic, they need their jump set. They need somebody in the ring raising the jump, putting the jump down, moving the jump. And that is, you are right next to the coach the whole time, listening the whole time. And a lot of times people are scared to get up in the ring and do it. And it is the best place to be. And your clinician will be so appreciative because they're busy watching and teaching, and moving the fences around is just a distraction. Whereas you can be out there again, soaking up the information for very little dollar.
Well, great. Well, I think there's a lot.
Yeah.
I think there were probably a dozen tips right there that everybody can...
Again, the talking problem. I'm sorry.
No, that was wonderful.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.